Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Dave Bowden on Parenting the Anxious and AI Saturated Gen Alpha.
You know, arty, but that's what's coming. That's where we're at, I think, you know, especially over the next few years when the robots start occupying the world, which makes me sound like a lunatic, but it's coming. So these Gen Alpha kids are going to come of age in a world where robots are going to be actively involved, as well as the artificial intelligence algorithms. 65% of Gen Alpha kids are going to work in jobs that don't even yet exist. They're going to grow up into a world which is changing rapidly. So what we've got to teach them as parents and educators is to be more human and not less.
Dave Bowden next. Gen Alpha, those born between 2010 and 2024, are growing up in a world very different from their parents. Despite desiring to help out, parents, educators, and faith leaders often feel overwhelmed by the growing generational divide. Dave Bowden wants to help them disciple this generation with his book, Raising Gen Alpha, helping kids navigate everything from anxiety to AI. Here's Spencer Dahlke.
What prompted you to think about anxiety and AI and in Gen Alpha, and what prompted the book?
I think I was trying to understand what was going on with the next generation. I mean, I've worked with young people for most of my life, since I was a teenager myself, you know, for the last 30 years, 3 decades, I've been working with young people. And I noticed, like many of us have, that the world seems to be changing really, really fast. And it's becoming harder and harder to keep up with what's going on in the world. And I also became very interested in generational study. I think particularly because the church is talking so much about Gen Z at the moment, and everyone's talking about Gen E. But then when you look at this generational study, there's this little generation called Gen Alpha, not only already here, but they've, in some ways, they've already finished. So we've already got Gen Beta coming, you know, hot on the heels of Gen Alpha. So I wanted to really understand what was going on with this generation, and the anxiety and the AI thing seemed to come up so much when you start to unpack what's going on for kids that are born from 2010 to 2024. That's what the sort of studies would say. So for that younger age group, anxiety and AI, two of the 5 characteristics that I sort of discovered in my research.
You start your book, at least in your introduction, about, like, you know, some of the things that make Gen Alpha a unique generation. Would you tell us a little bit about some of those things?
Yeah. You know, talking to my own daughter, who was 12 at the time, and I said to her, why do you think adults struggle so much to connect with the next generation? She just said it's because they didn't grow up in the same world as us. We feel like we know what's going on, but we really don't. So the 5 traits that I discovered were that this generation are anxious-minded, they are leading influencers, pandemic-impacted, hyper-connected, and AI-shaped. And the best thing is they spell the word alpha, so very easy to remember.
What do you think is the cause of a lot of the anxiety? We've described certain generations as the anxious generation. Presumably that's Generation Alpha?
It is, yeah. 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 So Jonathan Haidt, who talks, he coined that term, anxious generation. It's basically kids born from 2010 onwards. It's interesting. He says that one of the big reasons, he's an author and researcher, he says one of the big things is that we've moved from this play-based childhood to a phone-based one, and how the rise of technology has so dramatically impacted this next generation. I think there's a huge amount of truth in that. I can remember as a millennial person, life before the internet. I can remember life before screens absolutely everywhere and moving into the digital arena. But these kids were born in the middle of it, and there's loads of advantages of that, but it also comes with a lot of challenges as well, especially around that always on nature of life. Being hyper connected means that sometimes you could be hyper vulnerable because you're exposed to all sorts of stuff way before your time. You know, these kids have seen media, which you and I never were exposed to at such an early age. Friendships have changed dramatically because of technology. I can remember a day when I used to have my 5 friends and I'd go out with them on my bike, and then I'd ride around the neighborhood, then come home and relax at the end of the day. But this generation, they're always on, right? They're always connected, and there's always something to say and something to do through that digital arena. And then it feels like we live in just an anxious world in general, Spencer. You know, like I can feel like as an adult, I feel anxiety all around you because you're so exposed to that anxious mindedness. So then we've got these young people who are trying to deal with sort of like adult-sized problems, but with childlike tools. And more than ever, because we have a generation that isn't as resilient maybe as the one that came before them because of this exposure to everything, they're finding it harder to emotionally regulate and harder to sort of tackle then the issues that they are coming their way. So anxiety becomes a label, and in one sense they're more aware of it. So like if you look at a young person's Instagram bio, that they'll almost name different labels and kind of you know, sort of mental health terminology. Everybody's triggered, everybody has a meltdown, everybody has burnout. They're using the language every day, even at a young age, but they don't necessarily know what that means.
Well, at the risk of maybe sounding unkind by the comment, you think that's not performative then? I sometimes wonder, like, is it just a social contagion? Everyone's got mental health issues. Everyone else kind of wants to have mental health issues for the sake of fitting in or, you know, playing victim or something like that. You think there's real anxiety?
I think there's genuine anxious mindedness in this generation. I think the level of it, you know, you've got one in five kids in the classroom here in the UK and the same in the States as having that identifiable mental health condition, so actually diagnosable. You know, I'm not a therapist, so I can't go into diagnosing individuals, but as a general rule, with that rise in therapeutic language, there's definitely an element of young people who jump on it and then they label themselves with it and it becomes part of their identity, which, I mean, that's where the gospel comes in, right? Because you need that for the anxious-minded generation. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So you need to know a God who loves you and it gives you your identity, not one that you have to find online or find in some sort of diagnosis. So it's yes and it's yes, there are kids who genuinely really, really struggle because of the overwhelming nature of what they live in. And then there is a bandwagon effect as well. And it almost becomes trendy to feel a certain way or to believe a certain way. And that's not to belittle what's going on for them, because I genuinely do think there's some real challenges there. But it's definitely the default mechanism seems to be, I've got this challenge, I've got this issue, and things can stop there sometimes because they think that defines them and that's just the way things are. And of course, as parents, educators, church leaders, those that are working with the next generation, we can show them there's so much more than just that anxiety they can live in.
As people who have, well, most of our, you know, Gen Alpha is still pretty young. I think from what you've, the times you've given us, that what, the older end of the generation is like 16 or so entering high school.
That's right,
you know,
15,
getting there.
16, yeah.
Yeah. For, you know, those of us who are older and have known a very different world than theirs, are there ways that we misconceive and misunderstand them?
Yeah, I think it's very, with any generation, I think it was George Orwell who said that every generation sees themselves as, you know, wiser than the one that came before them, clever than the one that came after them, you know. So there's always that thing of like stereotyping. It's one of the dangers, isn't it, of generational study, is that we say all those boomers, all those millennials or Gen Xers, everybody seems to sort of judge one another. It is very easy to look at what's going on for the next generation, and our default is often judgment. And that's one of the things that I talk about in Raising Gen Alpha, is how we've got to move away from judgment and stereotyping to that place of compassion and actually putting ourselves in their shoes. So until you've really walked in their shoes, it's hard to understand. So we might think, you know, like for me, school was tough, right? School's tough, whatever generation you are. But for these kids today, there is an element that schools are not the same as they used to be, especially since the pandemic. So we, you know, behavior in schools is not the same. Attendance at schools are not the same. That ability to focus and get exams and study is not the same because of what's going on for them. There is a shift, and there is the idea that we have to be compassionate, but it's definitely very easy to judge. But likewise, probably the Gen Alpha kids, right? You know, my daughter would sometimes look at me and say, "Dad, why are you like this?" So one of the biggest challenges that we face is that idea of dividing generations. And part of what we're trying to do is bring these generations together so that we can understand and love and lead them well, but also love each other better as well. Because I think that that's inherent in the gospel, is this idea that the Bible says that in the Psalms, that one generation will tell of your deeds to the next. So we've got to tell the deeds, we've got to tell the story to the next generation. And if we're so busy judging them, then they're not going to hear the story.
I guess kind of to that point a little bit, not uniquely about the gospel per se, but, you know, misunderstanding them. It's so easy, like as older people, I imagine, to just be like, you know, just look at them and say, man, you little snowflakes, you've just been coddled all your life and that sort of a thing. Are there ways that those misconceptions and those assumptions about how people should be burden Generation Alpha in a way that's not helpful?
Yeah. If you talk to young people, which is obviously something that, you know, in my day job working in schools, and you get to do this all the time, is that I think young people, bizarrely, they want to label themselves, but they hate anybody else labeling them, right? So you're going to very quickly find a young person switch off if they feel like you're judging them and labeling them. So it's interesting, you know, I was talking to my own kids about the whole Gen Alpha language that they use and some of the phrases and the terminology that's quite funny to an older person. But it's like, if you try and talk about the 6-7 trend or anything like that, they would hate adults using it. And it's a bit like, the way I describe it is, for our generation, jeans were trendy, right? Until your dad started wearing them. And at that point, they're not trendy anymore, because you've sort of like lost the room a little bit. When we're quick to judge, when you talk to young people, they won't respond back to you. They won't listen to you. And of course, more than ever, we need a generation that can be listened, you know, that will listen to us. Because when it comes to like anxiety, for example, we've got to help these kids to renew their minds, to think differently. We've got to help them to move their bodies, and we've got to help them to feed their spirits. And when we start to do that, that's when we can kind of help them move beyond that preconception and that labeling around anxiety.
Well, my guest today is Dave Bowden. He is executive director of Grace Foundation and the author of Raising Gen Alpha, Helping Kids Navigate Everything from Anxiety to AI. As parents, I'm concerned, I will say, about a generation that just feels like, which we say, I guess our discourse is only hearing but never offering advice. When we just take everyone's opinion, be like, oh yeah, everyone's opinion is good, then we don't really flourish. We need truth. How, as parents, can we speak truth and be a force of like exhortation to living a better life, according to the gospel, of course, in a generation that feels like they just kind of want to be heard?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think the first thing is about what we model. One of the criteria, we talk about hyperconnectivity, and I'm quite sure that every parent has had a challenge with their young teenager around mobile phones, right? And you know, and the use of mobile phones and screen time, etc. And the first thing we've got to do, if we want to tackle that with our young people, is we've got to address ourselves and look at our own screen use and our own mobile phone use, and say, hang on a minute, is there habits I need to change? Because young people are watching all the time. So our children are watching us. That's the first thing. If we want to speak truth, we've got to model truth first. Because they're a generation of value authenticity. So they're going to want to see it before they hear it. I think then it comes to actually having that relational connection where they feel listened to and feel heard. But it doesn't stop there. You're dead right. It's because otherwise what we're doing is we're acknowledging the young person, but we're not leading them. So it's that that love and leadership comes together. And as parents, we are commanded to disciple our kids. So we've got to love them, but we sort of train them up in the ways of the Lord. I think one of the ways we do that is to really contextualize that thing around that relationship with Jesus being very relevant for their lives, where they're at. So I talked about earlier, anxious-mindedness. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So I think there has to be that embodied sense of experiencing, leading our kids into, like, when you follow Jesus, it means you can experience peace. Here's how you can do that. So you walk them through things practically, and that's around, you know, their habits. It's around how they feed their spirit. It's around what they say to themselves and the way they speak to themselves. And then it's bringing in the Word of God in not an abstract way, not a way that feels like it's completely disconnected from their daily experience, but one that's very real and very grounded and rooted in the big story of Scripture, but also rooted in their real world as well. So, for example, when it comes to anxiety, what happens with anxiety is it's often not what happens to us. It's what we believe about what happens to us that makes a difference, right? Say, for example, you may text a friend and that friend doesn't respond to your message. Well, to you or me, that probably means not a lot. But to a Gen Alpha child, that can mean they don't like me, I'm being left out, that, you know, this is the end of my friendship, and they start to spiral in their thinking around what's happening in the context of that situation. In a very practical way, what you can then do as a parent is say, is there another way of thinking about that? Maybe your friend's mobile phone was switched off. Maybe they're not near their phone. Maybe they were grounded and weren't, like, you know. So there's any number of alternatives to that black and white thinking. So what we're doing is helping to reframe circumstances with more options and ultimately with truth. And of course, then for us as parents, we're going to be saying, and you know what, even if your friend doesn't like you anymore, we need you to know what scripture says about you. Scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture says that you are loved beyond measure by an everlasting God with an everlasting love. Scripture says that when you feel that you're not enough, Christ makes us enough in him. So it's trying to address the situations and circumstances that they're feeling on a daily basis and countering their black and white thinking with the truth of scripture.
Is it Isaiah or Jeremiah? My word will not return void. Maybe, yeah, it might just be demonic forces even. I suppose we should talk about AI too. Speaking of, like...
yeah, speaking of truth.
Oh, man. What a ball of wax is this technology. And I'm sure you've looked into a number of ways that this affects, you know, our children and how they think. I understand there's been a lot of research done on this. It's like, how do you see AI affecting our kids?
I guess start with the positive, right? So there's a sense that this is a generation that's poised for possibility more than any other generation. You know, I was talking to my wife this morning about some of the breakthroughs in medicine and, you know, like some of the incredible scientific things that are happening. So we've got a generation that are going to grow up in that and actually contribute to that. That's really exciting. And it's very, very, the sense of possibility is great. But then there's also the challenge with that as well. One of the big challenges for this next generation is that idea of being tricked by technology. So actually, we are now have kids that are discipled by the algorithm. We now have kids that are being communicated to through these machines, and they are connecting with these machines on a relational level. So whenever I talk with parents, I say, yeah, we need to be aware of artificial intelligence. But I'll tell you what's more challenging is artificial intimacy. Because actually, we have chatbots now that are discipling our kids, and our children are turning to technology as the first point of call when it comes to thinking about advice and thinking about decisions and right and wrong. I mean, these are discipleship issues. So, yes, there's some tremendous possibility that comes with it and the breakthroughs that are coming, but also there's some things to be aware of as well. I think also in terms of just the power that's in these young people's hands. So you've got kids that they're almost given like godlike powers, you know, in these childlike minds again. So they can speak a word and it can produce a book. It can produce a piece of art. It can produce, you know, you can text a video game, make me a video game, you know, of a dog popping balloons, and it's there instantly. So what that does is it's giving children a lot of power in their hands. And of course, what we've got to do as parents is teach them to learn to discern. We've got to help them to navigate that power ethically and humanely. And it's a generation where they're going to have to realize just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, you know, because actually we have access to all this information and technology and power. The questions are going to be, should we, you know, for parents who help navigate their children through this, we're teaching them to think critically, because the other side of AI is now we don't know what's real anymore. So when you can have things generated that are completely 100% accurate and lifelike, we've got to teach the next generation to think critically and then to live authentically in the light of what they're seeing and experiencing, filter through it. I also think that AI opens up these opportunities for young people to consider what does it mean to be human, which I know sounds very odd and a little bit, you know, arty, but that's what's coming. That's where we're at, I think, you know, especially over the next few years when the robots start occupying the world, which makes me sound like a lunatic, but it's coming. So these Gen Alpha kids are going to come of age in a world where robots are going to be actively involved, as well as the artificial intelligence algorithms. So one of the stats in the book that I talk about is 65% of Gen Alpha kids are going to work in jobs that don't even yet exist. They're going to grow up into a world which is changing rapidly. So what we've got to teach them as parents and educators is to be more human and not less. They're going to be replaceable on so many levels practically, but what they will never replace is that human element. And what we as parents can bring into them is that human element. It's the how do we help our kids have more in-person experiences? How do we help them live IRL, you know, in real life in a way that is, it is very grounded and very authentic and very real, because that's what people are going to crave. Like with the internet, you know, I don't know how, have you ever opened an internet browser and thought, I don't even know what to search, because you've got access to everything, but where do you start? So we're going to have to help this generation begin to learn to discern and navigate through all this technological breakthrough and challenge that's happening. So there's lots to think about, lots to be excited about, but also lots to help kids navigate through as well.
No doubt, and another cause of anxiety, thinking about if the economy is going to be shaken up. It's like, am I going to have a job? Am I going to be able to like live on my own? What do you think might be some of the jobs that you mentioned don't exist yet? What might that look like in the next 10, 15 years?
I was doing some research in this, and there's some really interesting things about like companies actually employing ethical advisors. So it's a great thing for Christian children to get involved in this. So companies are going to need more ethics and philosophy kind of approach to their business than they've ever had before. Because if you think about it, we're going to get so machine driven in some ways. People are going to be like, oh, we've forgotten how to be human. We need somebody to help us to figure this out. I heard someone say, if you want to train in something, training in philosophy and ethics is going to be a good thing, which right now feels counterintuitive. I think there's going to be, obviously, like we know the rise in like technological breakthrough, etc., and some of the jobs which are at the base level are going to go. I always say, my son's 21, he's just qualified as an electrician, and I don't think he's going to get replaced by AI quickly. So he's so those hands-on trade things, I think we'll see more of them. I think we're going to see some really exciting developments around creativity in AI and that ability to really be able to create stuff that we've not seen before. So yeah, there's some interesting days ahead. At the same time, as probably massive disruption as well. And for education, I mean, work in education, the idea that we're going to have to like think through, what does it mean to train kids for a world that no longer exists? It was always a myth, really. And I think it's the same there for you guys, is that if you get these qualifications, you are guaranteed to get this sort of job at the end of it. And that's just no longer the case. It's just not true anymore. So we've got to help kids navigate through probably a lot more entrepreneurial thinking, probably a lot more business-minded, which is brilliant for Gen Alpha because they want to be leading influencers. These are kids that have been raised on participation. They don't want to be done to, they want to do with. So, you know, they're not just consumers, they're participators. So this is a YouTube generation, right? So they're creators, the content creators. They are, in their very inherent nature, they're not MTV. The idea of MTV, which is like polished and finished and programmed to the hilt, and somebody selects and decides who the celebrity is. They're YouTube. YouTube is raw and polished. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to be the celebrity. Everybody gets to put out that information to the world. So there's such a low bar to entry in terms of entering the internet world. These kids want to then have that sort of entrepreneurial approach to life. So yeah, the jobs are going to be interesting. I mean, what do you think is coming?
I haven't done a lot of thinking myself about what the jobs might be. I personally tend to think of AI as the rising slave class. It's right. They are subhuman. They need to be treated as subhuman. They need to be commanded. Like you were saying, we need to know what it means to be human, being created in the image of God, and AI as a cheap knockoff of humanity. I will say, I think it's really funny that you mentioned, philosophy, classical liberal arts, maybe, you know, the things people say, oh, you're never going to get a job with this, might become like a really valuable asset in the next few years.
makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense when you think about it in those terms, is that people are going to be longing for authenticity and they're going to be longing for human connection. And what's happened is, you know, social media sold us the lie that we're going to be more social and we're now less social. the dating apps sold like the millennials that they were going to be in relationships and in love forever, but everybody's still subscribing to them. So what's happened is that the promise of the internet revolution is not translated. And I think we'll see the same with AI. I think we'll see that thing of like, we're going to solve all these problems for you. And then there'll be a backlash against it where people will go, hang on a minute, what is life about? And that's brilliant for Christians, because we can start to remind people they're made in the image of God, remind people they're born for something bigger than themselves. So that idea of identity, purpose, and belonging are the three questions that every Gen Alpha kid is asking. Like, who am I? What am I here for? Where do I belong? Well, we have a great answer for that in Christianity, don't we?
In light of our discussion, what's a small change, or, you know, a few things that families, parents can do today to prepare their kids for life grounded in the gospel, who they are in Christ, and as fully present human beings?
I think for parents to go on that journey of understanding what's going on in their child's world and not assuming it's the same as what they grew up in, that's number one. Second thing, and then, is assessing our own relationship with things like technology, with anxiety. It was interesting. We did something in church recently where I was teaching on the themes of the Gen Alpha book, and we started talking about anxiety, and I thought I'd cover that in about 5 minutes. And we spent hours talking with parents, because as soon as we started talking about anxiety, they were all going, we feel this same stuff too. So it's that whole thing of, you know, you've got to help yourself before you can help other people. So I think going on that journey of understanding, going on that journey of actually, where are you at? What are we modeling to this next generation? And then really practically, it's learning to have conversations with Gen Alpha children in a way that's constructive and Christ-focused, but also relevant to where they're at. I think we should be having conversations about technology. We should be having conversations about AI. We should be having conversations about mental health, because if we're not, somebody else will be. So if we're not, as the church, getting a hold of this stuff and being on the forefront and cutting edge of it, they will turn to their peers. They will turn to their schools. They will turn to what's out there online in the media. And I'm not convinced that the answers that about identity, purpose, and belonging that are out there are as good as the answers that we find in Christ. So I think for parents, it's having the conversation and pointing back to the good news in Jesus. So, you know, for the anxious-minded, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. For the leading influencer, Jesus is the Servant King. For the pandemic impacted, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. For the hyper-connected, he's the true vine, he's, you know, source of true connection. For the AI-shaped, he is word of truth. He's that truth in the ever-changing, untrue world. So I think Jesus is really good news for Gen Alpha, and we should remind our kids of that as many times as we can.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Dave Bowden, author of Raising Gen Alpha, helping kids navigate everything from anxiety to AI. On tomorrow's program, it's Kyle Strobel on God's gift when he seems distant.
But instead of God giving us a gift of pleasure, now he gives us a very weird gift. And it's a gift of feeling abandoned. And this is the gift of 2 Corinthians 12, or 11 and 12, when Paul is given the thorn of the flesh, that God has given him. And we're told why Paul gets this gift. It's to keep him humble.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.